Welcome to Studio Within Podcast. I'm Sarah. I'm the founder of With Sarah Wellbeing Platform and a professional model. After a decade-long career working with incredible designers and clients in the fashion world's capitals, I turned into a passionate positive psychology practitioner. My experience has made it clear that happiness does not come from fame, money, and thousands of followers on Instagram. It comes from within. In this podcast, we will talk about what it means to be authentic. We'll share success moments and setback stories. We'll also discover how positive psychology tools can help you thrive. I'll share some practical steps so that you can put the science of well-being into action in your life. Sometimes it's just me chatting with you like this, and at times I'll bring in guests who really inspire me, both from the worlds of high fashion and positive psychology. I hope that my show will leave you energized and inspired to own your own story, create the life you want to live, and have some fun while creating it. Let's get thriving, shall we? Welcome to the world of positive psychology. Oh yes, it's finally time to talk about what the science of well-being, happiness, and success is all about. And you know, when I was thinking about this episode, I was like, okay, how do I want to really introduce this science to you? And then I had this light bulb moment. And the light bulb moment came when I was thinking about people in my life that have influenced my work and the work that I do through my well-being platform today. So I've invited my positive psychology teacher, Luis Aloro, to talk about positive psychology with me and with you. And, you know, I thought we were going to talk about what positive psychology is, give you some practical tools on how you can apply this science into your life. But to be honest, if I needed to describe this conversation with just one word, it would be love. And after hearing this conversation, you will know why. Luis Aloro is social entrepreneur and champion of change, creating and facilitating highly sought-after evidence-based learning experiences, helping teams and organizations dig deeper and reach higher. He's co-founder of the Change Lab, where he trains and certifies thousands of practitioners, companies, and communities in applied positive psychology and well-being science. He is currently pursuing his PhD studying leadership, change, and systems-informed positive psychology at Antioch University. He is also a senior fellow at the Center for the Advancement of Well-being. He is also one of the first ones to graduate from the MAP program from University of Pennsylvania, and that means Master's in Applied Positive Psychology. So I think we can just say, this is the man who knows about positive psychology. So I did my studies and positive psychology certification under Luis' watch. And what I really love about him as a teacher is his way of gently provoking our hardwired beliefs about ourselves, about the people around us, how we think about the world. And I love his perspectives and inquiries in helping people navigate change in a better way. But as a human being, Luis is just pure love. His passion and love for helping people thrive is contagious, and you will hear it from this conversation. I feel so privileged to have been able to be guided by Luis to the work I do today through With Sarah Wellbeing Platform as a coach, as a positive psychology practitioner. And it makes me feel grateful that he said yes to this conversation so that you get to hear his voice and thoughts on the science of well-being. So let's dive in. I know this is a super exciting episode for many of you who are especially curious to know more about what positive psychology is all about. But on a personal note, this is also extremely exciting episode for me. Because why? I get a special visitor to the podcast with me. I want to welcome the one and only Luis Aloro, who is not only the committed teacher and positive change agent who unlocked my passion for positive psychology, but who is also my friend, my mentor, and my source for inspiration on how we can think better, feel better, and thrive in the world. Welcome, Luis.
What a beautiful welcome. Thank you so much. Happy to be here. So happy.
Me too. And it's funny because we did many of the, well, all the lessons pretty much we did online. So I'm so used to seeing your face on a Zoom screen. So this feels like, you know, like you were saying, like we're home now.
Right. Yes. We got so good at that in the year that we, was it a full year? Almost, right? 9 months, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. We had almost like a little runway to where the world is right now. So we pretty much know the Zoom flow. We're going to talk about positive psychology. And we're going to talk about what it is. We'll probably talk about some misconceptions. And also we're going to get to some practical applications. But where do I want to start with you? I was just thinking that I loved one of the first things that I kind of started thinking differently in your classes was when you came in the room with us, you would not ask, how are we? How are you? You ask, what's good? So I'm going to start by asking, what's good today, Louis?
Oh, I love my question. That's my favorite question. What's good? Yeah. So I will answer, the sun is shining here in Southern California. That's good. I've had some good meetings prior to this, including a class that I just taught coming here on building high trust relationships was the name of the class. So, you know, working with people and sharing tools and strategies, positive psychology, you know, Sarah, it feels so good.
I love it. And it's such a special moment to be able to share this this space and time in the world where we can actually share this, I guess, inspiration and passion for this work, because it is one of a kind. So thank you for sharing what's good. So I want to start by asking you, what attracted you to positive psychology? Before we talk about what it is, I want to know, like, what brought you into this science and this work?
Well, as you say, you know that there's an unlocking in your heart for a passion for this work. And the passion has always been there for me. I grew up always interested in self-development. When I was young, growing up through the 80s and 90s, I remember going to bookstores when they used to have bookstores and finding the self-development section and just getting lost in Stephen Covey and Jack Kornfield and just all of the people who are helping other people live better lives. I've always been called to that work. I've also always been called as a teacher. So I remember being young boy, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, always, what do you want to be, Louis, when you grow up? I want to be a teacher. I'd always wanted to do that. And in fact, I did. Right after college, I taught high school for a couple of years. I don't know if you know that, Sarah, but I taught English in high school. And I quickly discovered I did not like teaching high school English. You know, it was a quick awakening for me that I love teaching, but I just didn't love teaching that subject in this context. Further, I was just so disheartened by the quality and the experience of schooling in America, in my world, you know, in that time. This was 20 years ago I was teaching, and I had not long there been there myself as a student, right? So I was 21 years old. I was teaching kids who were 17, 16. So I just saw up close some problems. You know, I don't love talking about problems all too much, but I saw some challenges, and the challenges to me boil down to people not feeling good about themselves. And so they didn't feel like they belonged in the place, the school, the community. I saw kids struggling with who they were. I saw families struggling in that experience. And so I knew that I wanted to be part of something larger than myself that was gonna help heal schools and communities. And so I was 21. I resigned from my job. I didn't know how or when or with what resources, but nearly a decade later, I was 28 when I bought the New York Times one day. And I had gone on a circuitous route in those years to, you know, to discover what working in corporate business was like and a family business. And I discovered positive psychology by opening up the New York Times one day and reading an article on the science of happiness. And I just knew immediately, Sarah, I can put myself back in that moment of time back in 2006, seven. And I just remember the feeling in my body. I can call it up right now because it was a moment that really mattered for me. I was meant to read that article. I say the positive psychology found me in some part of my story. I found it and she found me, and it's been an everlasting love ever since.
Well, I feel it in my body too, what you're just saying, because I mean, you should just see Louis's smile on his face, and it's, thank you for sharing that story. Actually, I never knew that. So it's very another source of inspiration to hear how you kind of found it and followed it. I think that's something that I often think about, is that, you know, once you know or start unlocking or discovering that passion that you have, almost like, well, I want to help people. Like, how do you take that step and actually find the leap? You know, you, like you were saying, almost like positive psychology found you. I think there's so much gratitude in the room right now. I feel like when you have that time, wow, there's something that really shakes up your world, right? And that's when everything kind of starts unrolling itself.
And it was a time in my life too. I remember being in my mid to late 20s, and I have a twin sister. I remember I called her every day at work. I worked on 30th Street in Manhattan. She worked on 42nd Street at MTV at the time. And we talked every day throughout the day. One day I called her office and someone picked up her phone for her. Christina Loro's office, can I help you? And I nearly fell off my chair, because what I started to experience were friends, my sister, who started moving up in their careers and creating careers for themselves. And I was still a bit lost, to be honest with you. I knew in my heart that when I found it, or it found me, that I would feel the way that I felt. But I started questioning that when I had a mentor, a good friend of mine still, who was a high school teacher of mine, who said to me at the time, Louis, maybe you should just pick something. Because by that time I had worked as a teacher, I had worked in corporate sales, and I worked for my family business. And I just remember that split second of, well, maybe I should just settle and do something everyone else is doing. And I'm so glad I didn't, because like you just said, you know, when those forces kind of meet, a lot opens up. I forget how you said it. You said it more beautifully than I just did, but those moments that matter.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, it's so true. And it's so good to share this, because you feel like you're not alone, right? We all have this. It's part of that belonging, right? And so Louis is one of the first, graduated from one of the first cohorts from Masters of Positive Psychology, right? So how was that experience then for you? Like, just like, I don't know, in 1, 2, 3 sentences, if you can, how was that experience then when you got into the school, University of Pennsylvania, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So how was it then, that experience when you went into the classroom? Was it like, oh my God, this is it? Or did it still take some time, like, wait a second, I need still some unrolling here?
Well, let me tell you a bit more of the story. So I read the article in the newspaper. I got online and I emailed everyone I could find that was working in positive psychology. At the time, there wasn't as many as there are now, right? So it was a smaller field. Right away, Marty Seligman wrote me back, other people, Angela Duckworth. And Marty said, why don't you apply to our master's program? Here's the link. The applications are due in a month. And I was just finishing a master's program, to be honest with you. I was not looking for an additional master's degree, but I just knew, you know, I filled out the application and I remember sending it and just knowing. I'm like, yes, this is my path, this is my journey. And so when I finally got there, it just felt so at home that even Marty said to us on the first day, and for the listeners, Marty Seligman is probably one of the most influential living psychologists, former president of the American Psychological Association, founder of this field of positive psychology. When we showed up on the first day of class, he said, you've all been called here.
Mm. Oh.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I feel called. And I turned to the person next to me and they were both like, I feel that too. I feel that too. And so there's this energy around the discipline and the inquiry, the scholarship and positive psychology that just is so magical. It's hard to put into words. It's transformative. It's personal. It's professional. It's all the things. It's all the things.
I'm like literally almost touched here when you're saying, because you know what you're describing right now is when Louise and me, we met first time in Melbourne for the Positive Psychology Conference. And I remember because I went to Louise, I'm like, I'm a little bit like nervous. And me not coming from also from an academic world, I felt like, okay, what kind of world I'm coming in? Like, you know, there are all these people and influential key people talking about the science and these talks and workshops. And I mean, it was 3 days of magic. And Louise was like, you know, this is probably the most amazing conference and most people conference you can ever attend, because everyone's here to be called. I almost feel like that's what everyone was there for. So everyone is just so incredibly open and they want to put their strengths into use. So they are there to serve and to learn professionally, personally about other people. So what you're describing there, I think I had similar experience first time in that conference when I saw the community coming together and really embracing what we're here to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why my work largely is in community context. How do you bring positive psychology to communities? People's hearts are ready. The passion is there, right? So that when you provide the experience, which I'm so grateful I get to do in my work, it creates that space that you're talking about. You know, it's not that everyone is also positive all the time. It's not that people don't have their weaknesses or people don't have their triggers and stressors and challenges. We're human. Yet, again, it's in the context of sharing with other people the work, the science, the strategies, trying them on yourself, reflecting on what's working, what's not working. All of that is so magical when you share it with other people. It's so different than you could have taken a positive psychology class online. You could have taken a Coursera course, Sara, where you sat and watched the videos and maybe written on a message board, which is lovely as well. But our course that you took was intensive. We met twice a week for almost 9 months on this Zoom. So that when we did meet face to face in Melbourne after that was over, it was like, you know, the hug was like, we've been waiting so long to have this embrace.
We are huggers.
And it must feel like what people feel like during the pandemic, right? Like that deep desire to get that embrace, and we're just not able to do it. So for all you listeners, when we do get, envision that hug now, actually. Imagine that hug. Imagine how great. Because our minds are that powerful.
Okay. So many things now. Now let's get to it. So what is positive psychology?
The scientific study of optimal human functioning. Positive psychology is the science of human well-being, organizational well-being, community well-being. You know, there's this multi-leveledness to it that involves me as an individual, that involves our relationship and dyads or teams or families. It involves the way we be together across entire organizations, communities, nations. Positive psychology is the scientific study of optimal functioning. We study what makes life worth living, and we help people learn the tools and strategies to struggle well in the hard times and soar free in the great times, and learn to appreciate and be grateful for all of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a great way to summarize such a big, broad topic. And I think something that I really want to point out, what often people ask me when I was starting to tell people, like, well, I'm studying positive psychology, and they say, oh, so is that like to be positive? And I say, no, it's not. So what you're saying about struggling well, that's, I think, the key message for people to understand, that it is really not just about you know, being positive and toxic positivity. Can you actually explain what the difference is like with toxic positivity and positive psychology?
Yes. So I will just say first, take a step back, that a lot of people will ask, and I'm sure you get this, Sarah, what's negative psychology, right? Or is that about being all positive all the time? Really the response to that is no, there's no such thing as negative psychology, but traditional psychology has tended to focus on fixing what's wrong with people. So for the past, 100 years, psychology from 1900 to 2000 anyway, was all about fixing deficits, naming what's wrong, weaknesses. And the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders is a taxonomy of that that's only gotten progressively thicker through the years. So what positive psychology aims to do is say, okay, not everybody has mental illness, although more and more people do today than ever before. But it's not, even if you do have mental illness and you take away your depression, right? I have acute depression from time to time. I have dips and turns, we all do. But when you're down and you find ways back to your baseline, the idea is that does not necessarily leave you a happy person. Just because you take away your depression, or just because you take away your attention deficit disorder, for example, doesn't leave you with the tools, strategies, skills, and strengths that lead you to your optimal existence. You can still have the mental challenge. You can still be depressed. You could still have schizophrenia. You could still have a number of things that you're struggling with. And like you say, you can learn to struggle well in that. You can still flourish and have struggle at the same time. People can live well despite the struggle because they know how to think about things and then approach those things, the good things and the bad things, with just more reserves, more resources, more of themselves, right? Isn't that it? Like, how can we become more of who we are from that strength-based lens?
And it's transformational when you start thinking that way, because we're not taught to think that way. And even in school, like, I loved psychology. I mean, I was there, I did all the studies I could in psychology. And I was remembering back then, like, why didn't I continue going to study psychology? Like, what stopped me? And I realized at the moment when I started understanding what positive psychology is, because I was so interested in, okay, well, I'm okay, but my life is okay, but how can I actually take a step forward? Like, how can I bring myself and what I think is good in me forward? And I realized that this resonates with so many people, because we are not taught to think what's good in us. I mean, I can just speak from people back home from Finland. I mean, it's like, if you tell something that's good with you, it's like, you're arrogant. So no, we just want to belittle a little bit. Like, that's a little bit different topic, but still, point being that we're not taught to think from a strengths-based approach. And I think that's really transformational when we can do that. And I think you beautifully kind of talked us through about the differences between traditional psychology and positive psychology. And I think the beautiful thing to remember is that positive psychology is not trying to take over traditional psychology. Like, we need that. Like, that's, they're coexisting, right?
Exactly. Yes. It's a both and. And that's one of the tricks and strategies, right? Once you start thinking there's only a certain way we can do this, or a lot of people like to think, what's the prescription for happiness? What are the steps? And there's no one way. Even though science is, and good research can show us what's working, what might not be working, everything always depends. So it depends on who you are, where you come from, a litany of experiences and histories that lead you to this point. But it's more about the future, right? So positive psychology helps us imagine and step into our preferred future with more awareness, with more agency, and with more with more of ourselves again, that we can, and that doesn't mean that everything always works out or that it's all sunshine and roses, because we know that that's not the way life works. However, it takes away the apathy and the passivity that we see in so many people's lived existences, where people stop believing that things can even be better or different, or, you know, and so with that lack of hope, and we call that sometimes learned helplessness, right? When I believe, when I think nothing will ever be different, well, then why would I even do anything differently or try anything differently or be open to that moment that matters, you know, that newspaper article or, you know, that next business deal that's really in alignment with who you are and what you value and what you've envisioned wanting now here for you to work with.
I love that. And I think something that comes up for me as you're talking is that I know you work closely with Michelle McQuaid, and I think she said it once a couple of times how these well-being tools help us become the active participant of our own well-being journey. And I think that the word active participant is what really speaks to me, because if I don't take that role, I don't know if I can thrive. What do you think? What do you think about that? If I say, well, I don't know if I can thrive if I'm not active in my well-being journey.
Yeah, it has to be an active participation. That doesn't mean you're always doing something, right? Just because you have active participation, sometimes that means you're doing nothing. In fact, rest, rejuvenation, sleep, food, exercise, all of those things are so foundational to well-being that we call them some of the game changers. You can, even if you don't are not getting great rest, for example, that doesn't mean that that has to be your prognosis for the rest of your life. You know, people who will say, oh, I don't sleep well, I'm not a good sleeper. Okay. Tell me about a time you did sleep well first. Let's start there. But also, you know, let's talk about what the research has to show about sleep and how you can. And so then that you have to be interested and curious, and you have to be an active participant in that process to, because it's just information, right? I mean, you take a class like the one you did with us, it's just information. You create the transformation with that information when you can embody some of what the learning is. And, you know, no one's exempt from that, myself included.
Oh, I just love that thought so much, that there's information and it's almost like that sense of agency, right? Well, here's the information. Let's try what works. And I think on my personal positive psychology journey, I think that experimenting on different tools that might work for me or for other people, providing them these different tools so that they can decide what they want to take on. I think that is such a beautiful way to provide more well-being into the world. It's like, well, actually, you know what? You know your life and your situation and your personality way better, which means also you can start exploring what works for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know that you know yourself better than anyone else does. Sara, I just want to give a shout out to Star Student in our class. I mean, you really took on the challenges of doing exactly what you just said, which is experimenting and trying something and assessing how that worked for you and what could be better about it and what you might try differently next time and all of the things. A++++.
Thank you. Oh, after all this year, thank you, Luis. That's so beautiful. And I think part of it, you know, it's when you know when you're passionate about something, you just want to try everything so that you can provide that for other people too. I mean, how can I talk about, or you know, I know you know this. I mean, you can't share the well-being experiences honestly, authentically, if you haven't tried it yourself. That's my personal belief on the work that I do right now. It's like, I need to try it first so that I can tell from my experience how it might be, but that doesn't mean it might work for you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Very well said. It really, we're all so unique. And I think at the beginning of the positive psychology movement in the research science, Because our traditional ways of doing research are also reductionist in approach, it was very much oriented around, well, let's see what works and what doesn't work for everybody. And what I've seen over the past 15 years or so is an evolution of consciousness, really, and of thought that not one size fits all. And we have to give room for people to experiment, like you say, and even what might work for me today might not work for me tomorrow, right? Because I'm always changing too. And so there is a bit of awareness building in this as a process.
Well, yeah, and now you bridge us beautifully to change, and I think you are an expert in change and especially in positive change, I would personally call it, but especially change in during the world where we live right now. What do you think is the place for positive psychology during pandemic?
In people's homes, where they are, with their families, and when they're alone, which a lot of people are. It's in community context where you could plug into other folks on the journey, like you did when you came to take the course, or, you know, seeing what's going on even in your neighborhood, maybe, or your physical region, to see, you know, who is where and doing what in contributing to a well-being conversation. Get in on that conversation. Why not be in that conversation and start with where you're at and put one foot in front of the other and see what comes to you the next time you opened up a newspaper? You know, be open to being surprised and delighted and met with your readiness. When you're ready, what's the line? When the student is ready, the teacher appears. I love that.
That's a beautiful one. I think that when you said the word conversations and people's home, I can't help but asking you, how do you think we can be? Because part of my podcast is, well, meaningful conversations, right? That this is the essence for me in my life. So how can people maybe benefit from, what can we take from positive psychology to be better in conversations at home? Like what do you think is like a one skill or in a practical application, what we can do and better communicate with the people we love at home, at work, beyond?
Yeah, so I think what's one thing, that's such a hard question, inquiry, right? Asking questions, being more curious, open-ended questions, like what was the best part of your weekend? Or what are you looking forward to this next weekend, right? They're positively primed, appreciative questions that open people up to a conversation. And that's where change happens, conversation to conversation. You can talk about struggle. In fact, we should be talking about struggle. This is really effing hard, being in a pandemic, having uncertainty around almost everything. That's an exaggeration, but uncertainty about a lot of things, right? When are we going back to school? When are we gonna go back to the office? Will it ever be the same again? When will I get my vaccination? All of the things that are really part of the struggle. The struggle is real. Our research is showing that people are not always feeling like they can share their struggle, and that hurts my heart. Like, really bad, because it's part of our human experience. And so if people are operating in their worlds without being truthful, right, it's not all good. When I ask the question, what's good, it's not with the assumption that everything in my life is good. In fact, when people ask me, how are you, I'll answer these days, I answer mostly good, because it's true. And, you know, and it leaves some space for people to sit. And it's interesting, you know, some people's response is like, well, what do you mean? What's not good? You know, and people's brains will go to that negativity bias of focusing on the fact that I was just being more complete with my response. Because even before the pandemic, Sara, when people were asked, how are you? And they would say, I'm great. Everything is good. It's BS. Because that's not how it works in life. We need to be good at talking about all of it, the good stuff and the stuff that's hard, and we don't have to go it alone. That was the first lesson in our program anyways, about mindset, right? And choosing a growth mindset. And part of that is that you can ask for help when you need it. And I just want listeners to remember that you're not alone. Even if you're sitting in your apartment right now listening to this by yourself, you are not alone. There's someone on the other side of that wall from you in that apartment. Go knock on the door and say hello. Get to know your neighbors.
Mm. Oh, and you know, it makes me think about that, how Christopher Peterson was explaining what positive psychology is. Other people matter. So what does this say about, you know, like, let's tune in, but let's tune out to the people that we love, we care. And also, I think for the people we don't know yet, stay curious instead of judgment. Choose curiosity over judgment, because at the end of the day, we can all learn, right? Like, it's, I think that's what's the beauty of positive psychology, because when we are in positive emotions, we can broaden our, you know, perception about the world, about ourselves, about the people around us. And when we can apply those events in our life and those tools and strategies that help us feel better, we can open ourselves as well to more curiosity, I guess.
Yeah. It's inquiry is such a beautiful tool. In fact, in some research on business teams, you might remember, Sarah, they count the number of questions that get asked in the meetings versus the number of statements that get made. Just as an indicator, how well is our social system here? You know, are we curious enough with each other, or are we advocating? When we're advocating, we're making a whole lot of assumptions. But when we're curious, when we're asking questions, we can monitor our own biases. And that's really a big bulk of this work, is to develop a metacognition, the ability to experience your life and be in your life and think about it at the same time and make real-time choices in how you want to perceive your circumstances or show up to your life, and be more mindful in the approach, more intentional, and use that as power. It is such power to be able to choose from moment to moment. What's that great quote about, there's, you know, space between stimulus and response. Own that space. I think that's my quote, actually. I was thinking more of the Frankl quote from Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl.
Yes.
Yeah, he has a quote about the space in between, but not quite like I just said it.
I know what you mean. And I think so what we are taking from this, inquire more. Inquire is power. Let's use inquiry in our conversations. What would you say are other two maybe big thoughts or practical applications of positive psychology for someone who's listening right now, is like super inspired to apply positive psychology to other things that they can do to either improve well-being, performance, or whatever comes up for you now?
Yeah, so we use Martin Seligman's PERMA model often to describe the components of well-being: positive emotion, engagement, relationships, meaning, achievement, and health. Okay, so there's six different lever points, really. So you really want to get on the scales and see where you're at. And so we have a great free tool. It's online, permasurvey.org. Go take it and get a customized report and learn about, you know, your own particular snapshot of where you are right now. Get some suggestions from that report on what you might do in order to increase your well-being. So that's one thing I would say that people ought to do and could do very easily right now. And another thing I think is, you know, a very simple idea of counting your blessings, keeping a gratitude journal, just having some sort of ritual regular in your life where you're putting your attention on what's good and what's right and what's working with gratitude, something that you can call up and feel the feeling in your body of appreciation, of gratitude for the things that are good and are working and are right, because our brains are such funny things. We tend to focus on what's wrong, and we tend to spiral in those moments of not so goodness. We can do the same. We should do it even more intensively with the good things. We tend to brush those things over. So I know this gratitude journal is something that you probably learned in Sunday school and you've probably encountered before, yet it is a powerful and simple strategy that you can do personally, that you can do with your partner at home, your work team, right? It's making that be something that you commit to regularly. It has to be a regular thing, and it accrues like capital. So there is a note in the literature, the research, that with gratitude, sometimes there's a sleeper effect. Like, just because I'm doing my gratitude and really doing it right now doesn't mean that my life instantly changes. Sometimes there's a delay. But just know that all of those things, all of those moments taken together, just get put into your bank account, like any, and accrues over time. So that when things do get more challenging, you can have that to pull from to help you be resilient and to just navigate whatever comes your way, because that's what we do as humans if we let ourselves.
Oh, I love two thoughts that come up for me. Firstly, about gratitude, I think two things that I think are very essential to know about, and add on what you were saying so beautiful about gratitude, is that you need to feel it. I think that was one powerful, like, yeah, I can say I'm grateful for this and this and that. No, what I'm really grateful for, and really feel it with your body. I think that's the power to me that changed it in my gratitude exercises, is like really taking that time to feel it, not just write it, but really feel it. I think that's one powerful way to really get into to the positive emotions and get the benefits of those positive emotions that come there. And the second thing that you said about, which I think most people still don't know, is that positive emotions like gratitude is not just there to make us feel good, but they build resilience. Like, you know, Louise was mentioning this, like piggy bank almost. It's like you're putting things in your bank account, and when shit hits the fan, let's face it, you have so much more capacity in that piggy bank to struggle better. So I think that's such a powerful lesson from positive emotions. And the second thing that I wanted to say, when you were mentioning about the PERMA survey, I'm going to put it on the show notes for you so you can go and take it right now in the Change Lab. Go measure your well-being and see what you can do with the results. Wow, I'm just like, I'm always learning when I'm with you. And now I want to ask you, Louise, are you ready for the rapid fire round?
Let's do it.
Let's go. Fill in the blank. Right now, I'm inspired by
Sarah.
Okay, go on. Fill in the blank. Authenticity means
showing up as yourself and feeling good about that.
The one thing you do to boost your mental well-being after a long day at work.
Eat a very nutrient-dense meal and go to sleep early.
Sleep, important. The one and only positive psychology tool you wish everyone in this world knew about.
It's a hard one. One tool that I wish everyone knew about. I think I love active and constructive responding as a tool, you know, because it helps us ask someone, hey, what's going well, what's good, and then show up to their response in an active and constructive way to help pull out even more of the good stuff that they just offered. So it's a savoring tool, active constructive responding, that helps us amplify what's been shared. And it's a gift and a benefit for you and the other person and whoever else is in your vicinity to just linger a little longer in the good stuff.
Can we, I have a wild request. Can we show people how that works? If you want to ask me something and I say it and you responded actively.
Well, I think you should respond actively. I'll test you to see if you remember how this works.
Okay, see, okay. I'm the student. Right. I'm the student. Okay, Louis, what have you been celebrating lately?
I'm really celebrating this project, this community work we're doing in Michigan, a region in the United States. We've trained and certified over 100 of their community leaders in applied positive psychology, similar to the program you went through, Sara. And I'm just savoring, they all designed and executed impact projects based on what they learned. So that the second half of 2020 was the execution of their projects all at the same time. And so many different versions of application. There were projects, you know, women's leadership circles and a lot of work through the health system to change even their how they use social determinants of health to help cure loneliness in their community. And in their businesses, there was a big project, a collaborative project called Take 10, where they organized all 10-minute interventions that teams could use at their county's largest employers. So that is what I'm celebrating.
It's so amazing when you're explaining this. It's like you are the magician of positive change. Like you are in the middle of all this change. It's so beautiful to witness that you are living through your passion. And what's the impact of this work to you?
The collective part of it, you know, that it's not about any one person, any one program, any one thing, anyone. And it's about all of us. And it's about the collective, collaborative part of what we're doing here. That's ongoing, you know? So we helped create a well-being coalition and form a well-being coalition. And now we're working with other communities to do similar work. So the best part is that the ripple is ongoing.
Go on and change the world, Louis. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you for asking. And thank you for doing such great active constructive responding.
Did I pass? Did I pass? I was a bit fresh.
You're sweating. You have a little sweat. Why don't we do it the other way around too? You tell me something that's good and I can practice.
Okay. Super. Okay. What's good? What's good is that I took the step to really go out of my comfort zone, I think, end of last year. And when the world stopped, all my modeling gigs were pretty much canceled. So I said, okay, how do I use this time? And I've started to build with Sara, and where the direction where it's going right now, it just makes me feel so happy to be able to help people. And I think that is something that I'm celebrating every day when I wake up, because I feel like I'm truly living my strengths and what I think I'm also good at and I'm able to provide to the world, and help people find their inner glow through coaching, through workshopping, you know, through conversations that I have with people. So I think, I don't know if I've ever been as happy as I'm right now. So I think I'm really celebrating that whole like struggle to get there, and that work and that process that led me here is finally like I'm seeing it in real and the impact that it has on me. So I guess I've been celebrating that a lot lately.
Wow. Just wow. Oh my gosh. I don't even know what to say to that, but thank you for sharing that. And thank you for doing this work that you're putting into the world, because it does come from that inner glow, and that's why it is felt, you know. So what is the best part of it for you? You mentioned a lot of things that are so good, but like if you were to say what's one of the best parts of it for you, what would you say?
To help people own their story, to help people to feel better, do better, and thrive in their professional life and their personal life. I think it's all about that living life worth living. And when I can have at least a small role in that part of someone's journey, that's when I feel complete.
That's so beautiful. Well, power to you, sister. Keep going. You're doing wonderful work. And for the people that are listening, you know, I know how inspiring it is to to see you, someone who's been so committed to your career as a model, be able to still be a model and do the other work that you know is good for you and good for others. And I just love seeing it from this point. So it's an honor. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you. Wow, Louis, that was wow. Guys, now if you want some like I don't know, like this is the active, like this is the way to respond. Wow, I mean, it's the impact that you have when you actually recognize someone's celebration moment. Like let's really take this as a learning opportunity. I think this was very not planned. And yeah, there's some power in inquiring and being with the person in the experience.
It's everything.
Okay, I'm gonna continue with the rapid fire round because I really want
to we have more.
I love this stuff, but these are quick ones. Let's finish this. The one song that gets you every time.
The one song that gets me every time is Footloose.
Nice. Finnish sauna is
amazing and magical, and sign me up.
Yes, let's do a sauna date one day. What are you grateful for in your life right now?
So many things. I'm grateful for peace of mind and a connection to my heart that feels newly awakened again. And I'm grateful for my family and my friends and my school and my work and this house, and the list goes on, but I'm grateful to be here right now and this having this conversation. Conversation is a positive intervention.
yes, that is good one. We just keep like throwing these tools. I'm gonna make a list of all the tools that we have been discovering already during this conversation. Now, if you could choose anyone in the history or in the present time, with whom would you want to have a deep and juicy conversation with?
My grandmother.
And the last of the rapid fire round, who are you beyond your labels?
Oh, wow. Love.
This is so beautiful because behind Louis, you guys can't see that, but there's a sign that says love. And I was thinking that word before you said that.
Oh.
Wow, that's magical. Louis, thank you for being here and thank you for being my guide in this journey to positive psychology. And I am so grateful that we have you in this work and in this world to guide us through towards well-being, performance, and deeper fulfillment. So thank you for doing the work you do.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
My heart feels so full right now. I hope you feel as warm and fuzzy as I do at the moment. What a beautiful conversation. I'm so grateful Louis had the time to hop on the line with me all the way from California. So I realized something that we got so into the role play in the active constructive responding tool that I feel like we didn't really break it down for you. Like really, what are the elements of active constructive responding? And since this is such a powerful tool to build your relationships, enhance connection between you and the one you're having a conversation with, I really wanted to finish this very quickly and break down to you what are the elements of active constructive responding and what you really saw in the way Louis and I were responding to each other's celebratory moments. So yeah, I really wanted to take this opportunity quickly tell you so that you can really put this tool into action in your next conversation. So here's just briefly the key elements on what you witness in our little role play. Number one is quite an obvious one, but worth mentioning is eye contact. You really want to look into your partner's eyes when he or she is sharing this good news with you, right? There's nothing so beautiful than someone really looking into your eyes. You know that. Okay, so that's one. The second thing is listening. And it's not just listening a little bit, but truly listening to your partner. And I think there are a couple of ways on how you can really make sure that your partner feels seen and heard is first and foremost to witness, like by describing what you just heard. You know, it could be just repeating some of the words like, wow, you're doing such a beautiful work with this community. Or I think Louis was mentioning something about, you know, it really comes from that inner glow. Like he was really using the words that I was using in while I was describing what I was celebrating. So those are really great, describing and really witnessing on what your partner is saying. And the third piece on that note is to inquire. And Louise mentioned this many times. This is such a beautiful, powerful way to be in conversations and to enhance connection with you and the other one is to inquire more. Because this inquiry, so being curious, asking questions, really helping your partner go more into the positive experience. This will enhance the experience for your partner. And I think the last piece that I want to say about it is that be authentic about it. So if you really are not like in the mood to celebrate and you just, you know, you don't even care about this person, whatever, I don't know, whatever it could be for you. But I think the key is to be really authentically enthusiastic about the celebration, what someone is sharing with you. So number one, eye contact. Number two, really listen. Four, inquire, be curious, ask questions. And lastly, be authentically enthusiastic about your partner's experience. So now here comes the the other role play. I don't have Louis here anymore with me, but I want to show you what would the opposite type of responding look like. And I'm not going to break it down the names. There are names for these kind of responding styles, but I just want to show you how they feel and how they sound like. So let's go back, you know, to that moment where Louis was sharing the beautiful work that he's doing with these communities and creating this positive change and teaching people how to use applied positive psychology. Now, he finishes, it's my time to answer. This is the opposite of active constructive responding. That's nice, Louis. You know what? Next, I would like to talk with you about Or it could be like this. That's great, Louis. Guess what happened to me? You see the difference, right? I feel so bad even saying that because it's like, it's just completely flat energy and it's not constructive. It's not connecting. I'm not really listening to him, right? I have my own agenda. So that was just a brief little way to showcase to you the power of active constructive responding. So go respond constructively next time you're having a conversation with somebody and share with me on social media, drop me a message. What's the impact of this type of responding style, not only to your partner, but to yourself? I would love to hear from you. If you're interested in following Louis further, you can follow him on Instagram, Louis Alloro, his name, and also his website, louisalloro.com. And there's also a really exciting opportunity going on at the moment. If you're really interested in diving deeper into positive psychology, he and the Change Lab, they are running two different certification programs, Certificate in Creating Positive Change and Certificate in Creating Wellbeing. I will add on the show notes the links to these certifications. So please have a look at them if you are interested in diving deeper into this work and curious about how you can really help yourself and others with the science of well-being. Thank you for being here. I can't wait for the next episode. Until then, stay thriving. Thank you for joining me today in Studio Within. Head over to witsara.com/podcast for all the show notes from today's episode. You can also find more information about me and what I do on withzara.com. It means the world to me that you've taken your precious time today and listened to this episode of Studio Within. So, how about we make most out of this? My question to you is, how can you turn an insight you had from today's episode into an action that you can put right into practice in your life today?